You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 22nd of May. I'm Simon Brown, coming you live and loud from the Global MoneyWeb headquarters. On the show today, Nissen Naya from Sasfin Securities. Banks and listed property having a good Thursday against the trend. Spar CEO Graham O'Connor on Polish troubles and maybe some food inflation down the line. And Andriy Gerber on a new structured product from Investec. Some morning headlines from CNBC. Hong Kong plunges 4% following reports of Beijing's plan for new security laws. And on MoneyWeb, time to swap equities for bonds. Morning markets, US red overnight, S&P off 0.8%, NASDAQ down 1%. Asia red across the board, Hong Kong leading that lower, as I mentioned. Commodities also red, especially oil. Gold the exception, 1728 on gold. And the ZAR trading stronger, 1766.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Nissen Naya, he's from Sasfin Securities. Nissen, morning, thanks for your time. It was a huge day for banks and property stocks. They came well off their highs, but still green against the trend. Was that really a case of we saw resources being sold off? Those stocks had a good week. The money had to go somewhere. In broker parlance, it rotated into banks and property. Or is it a case of, hey, there's value here and people quickly jumping in?
Yeah, good morning, Simon. I think more case of the former. You know, if you extrapolate performance a little bit over a slightly longer period, you'll notice that the resources and the industrial shares have actually held up reasonably well throughout this crisis. In fact, when you look at the all-share index, above 50,000, 51,000, wherever it is right now, you know, a lot of that performance is a result of Naspers. You know, some of the resource stocks bouncing back, and of course a weak currency. The financial index is down 50%. You know, almost over the last year. Kind of like interest rates. Interest rates have almost fallen by half from the beginning of the year. And it was strange that the banks had a good day yesterday. I thought because you know with an interest rate cut, it ultimately it's going to affect their top line. Growth, surely. But I think the market, just looking at it, has been positive for the South African economy. Maybe it means that we recover a lot faster from this whole coronavirus lockdown. Difficult to see exactly why the market was so excited yesterday. But, you know, I suppose once in a while, you know, even the unloved becomes the loved.
There's hope for all of us. Yeah, that banking index started the year a little under 16,000. It is still under 10,000. The rally we've seen, as you say, it's being concentrated in resources, Naspers, a couple of, you know, process, some offshore, but it certainly hasn't been in SA Inc. You mentioned the rate cut yesterday. Almost 50% cut in rates this year. Michael Jordan tweeted a chart of our rate of our prime, lowest in 63 years, which was way before me and you were born. 50 points was less than expected, but I suppose the SARB is keeping some of their powder dry. And truthfully, they did 2 100 cuts and a quarter point in percent earlier in the year. Our rates are basically crashing.
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's more to go, as you say. You know, they do have a little bit of dry powder. But what's interesting, you know, similar to the petrol price, I mean, the petrol price is so low, but there's nobody taking advantage of it. And that's probably why it is low. You know, there's just no demand. And, you know, I think similar with rates, I think, you know, banks are not going to have much of an appetite to do any new lending. Of course, the lending that they have to do in terms of the 200 billion guarantee and the coronavirus relief that the National Treasury has put together, I think is inevitable. That's just going to be an extension of existing loans. But I can't imagine that banks in this environment are going to want to extend any further loans.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing is, it's quite interesting. If you look at all the corporate results that come out, you know, a lot of people are holding back on dividends. Companies are halting bonuses and salary increases. And even with lower rates, if you look at the where a person gets their income from, where are you getting your income from? The pension, where are you getting your income from? A salary. All of us are going to have to tighten our belts because it's very clear that there's not much liquidity or not much money available in the market right now, to go around. And that's going to be also true, I think, for credit extension.
Yeah, and it's the irony. You know, rates are cheap. We can't borrow. Petrol's cheap. We can't drive anywhere. We live in crazy times. SPA results yesterday. I'm chatting with the CEO right after you. The market liked them. I mean, aside from Poland tops and builded, I mean, Switzerland coming better, Ireland okay, South Africa doing all right. Some dividend, but a reduction in the dividend. Market pushed the stock up almost 6.5% yesterday.
Yeah, you know, this cast your mind back a few weeks of Pick and Pay disastrous results. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not entirely comparable because remember, Pick and Pay gave us a trading update up to 10th of May. These SPA results were for the calendar year. You know, I think it was in March. Mm-hmm. So you didn't really quite see the impact of the lockdown. On the SPA numbers. So just bear that in mind. I mean, it's not entirely a true comparison. I suppose, the next half yearly results or the second quarter results, really, where they do actually put something up, give us a better indication of just how tough it is. What I also thought was interesting was, especially with Pick and Pay, the dependence on alcohol and tobacco sales.
Yeah.
Pick and Pay was complaining about us being only allowed to sell very low margin essential goods. So, SPA's model, remember, is a franchise-based model as well. So, it'll be interesting to see how that's impacted them.
We'll leave it there. That's Nsen Nayar. He is at Assessment Securities. Always appreciate your time in the morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
SPA results, 6 months ending March. It's always that March part that's important, as Nsen just mentioned. Group turnover was up just over 10%. Normalized diluted HEPS down 13.4. But if we exclude Poland, would have been up 8.5. That's going to be the first question. Interim dividend, 200-cent dividend, which is nice. Down from 284 the year before, but still a dividend there. Chatting with SPA CEO Graham O'Connor. Graham, appreciate the time this morning. You acquired the Poland acquisition on 1 October 2019. It had been in a business rescue status, and you paid literally €1 for it. Was it worse than you had expected? Was it it hit the results, but had you kind of anticipated the troubles you were going to have there, considering business rescue?
Well, we had anticipated mostly, but what really hurt us was that the SPA license was only transferred in February of 2020, when in actual fact we could have been operating there from February 2019. That was the big issue. The person who had the license before us in Poland had it taken away from him, and then when we tried to go and operate in Poland, he put all sorts of court actions in place to try and stop us. So that was the big issue, was really the year's delay. Because in that time, we were actually employing people, getting ourselves organized to distribute, and we couldn't do that. Fortunately, we could start distributing to the Petr and Pavel store from 1st of October, but we literally only started delivering to the SPA stores in April of this year. So we even missed the whole trading update period. So that was the reason for the losses. They were a bit higher than we expected, but we'll turn those around and get into profit by the end of 2021.
Yeah, so very much a procedural / legal issue rather than an operational on-the-ground issue. Therefore, it wasn't nice, but very much behind you.
Very much so. And look, what the guys have done in Poland is truly remarkable. We've now, in two distribution centres, we're delivering goods from them. And that network started up very nicely, so we're very pleased about that.
Your results, obviously they were to March. We've been in lockdown since then. We're in day 57 of lockdown, level 4. How much are your members of their product, are they able to sell under current levels?
Well, fortunately, Builders opened on the 1st of May, as everyone knows, and that was massive for us, because before that they were selling nothing. As far as our retailers are concerned, they basically can sell 20% less of the goods that they are selling, when one includes liquor, cigarettes, and hot meals. And but look, we're in a very fortunate position that at least we operate 80%. And I feel really sorry for many businesses who aren't open at all. I mean, that's really difficult for them.
And your Topps brand, which is the liquor brand, I mean, that's fairly chunky. When that comes back online, that'll be a significant uplift to your members.
Big time, yeah, very much. I mean, the Topps stores have been very profitable for our retailers, and obviously the turnover has been missed by them and by us as well, obviously.
You did talk of, and I've been, talking to food producers. We've seen some tough numbers coming out of some of them. Certainly, our agricultural sector is operating, but higher costs coming through. Are you looking for perhaps some food inflation coming down later in the year as the agri sector is working, delivering, but under a higher cost environment?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, our suppliers have been remarkable. I need to say that the suppliers and our distribution centers and our retail stores have delivered food fantastically to to the nation, so that's been superb. But we see inflation coming through with the price increases, some of it overseas, obviously the rand weakening, but we see inflation coming through.
Will you be able to absorb some of that, or will you pass it all on to a consumer who is, frankly, under pressure and only getting more pressured as we move through? Even when we start coming out of lockdown, it's tough out there to be a consumer.
Yeah, very tough, and we'll do as best we can. We'll certainly push back on price increases where we can, but at the same time, we need to be cognizant of the suppliers being under pressure. So it's a balancing act all the way through.
Yeah, it absolutely is. One, I don't envy you. Your international operations, we've touched on Poland. Your Ireland, your Switzerland, coming along nicely. Less strict lockdowns in those two markets. So a little more transaction happening. You're happy with those two markets and how they're performing under current conditions?
Ironically, the lockdowns there have also been tough, Simon. So it's not as if they've opened up everything. Mm-hmm. In Ireland, all the food service and pubs have been closed. That's hurt our cash and carry business in Ireland. And obviously, downtown Dublin's deserted. I mean, you've seen pictures of Dublin, not one person in the streets. So our stores in downtown Dublin have been closed. That's hurt us. Fortunately, our neighborhood stores were well placed and have been really going well in our rural stores. So our Eurospar stores have done very nicely in Ireland. As far as Switzerland goes, it's been a nice boost for us because there's a lot of cross-border shopping there. So we've benefited from that with our proximity stores in Switzerland, and also people not wanting to go to malls, as we have here in South Africa. Mm-hmm. So we've benefited from the lockdown in terms of our convenient location of our stores.
Yeah, Europe's a crazy place. You go to a different country to go and do your grocery shopping on a Saturday morning. We'll leave that there. That is SPA CEO Graham O'Connor. Graham, really appreciate the time this morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with André Joubert, he's a financial products, Investec, corporate and institutional banking. That's a mouthful of a phrase. They've got a new structured product coming out, China Seas Basket Limited. André, appreciate your time. I want to get into the details around the structure part of the product, but let's first touch on, obviously, it's tracking an index. In this case, the Euronext CDP Environmental World Index, which is quite a mouthful, but in essence, this is an index that scores companies on carbon emissions and the like. An ESG strategy brings the 40 with the highest and then sticks them into an index, which you're then able to put into a structured product.
Yes, thank you, Simon. It is quite a mouthful, but we try and keep it simple for our investors. So basically, the idea here is that if you look at sustainable investing and what it's been shown to show generate alpha, mm-hmm, against conventional investments, and especially on a look forward basis. And what Euronext has done is they've basically looked at the top 200 largest market cap companies in Europe and in North America. And then they choose the top 40 companies, so 20 in each sample, that basically makes up this index. These companies are the largest market cap weighted in those two samples, and they are basically rated by CDP. Now, CDP is a non-profit organization, and they score companies based on carbon emissions, regulations, and other criteria. So simply put, it is companies that we know, that we track, that we're comfortable with, but that's also got a focus on sustainable investing, and that got the highest scores in that regard.
Yeah, and it is companies that we know, and I think that's important. It's Microsoft, it's Alphabet, Salesforce, you know, Diageo, Bayer, et cetera, et cetera. These are not, you know, this is not a case of I've never heard that, and they're like, these are the big global companies. Philip Morris makes it, Citi Group and Boeing. And it kind of looks, in terms of the sectors, tech and banks about 18% each, USA around 44%. So again, we get that sort of typical sector and geographic spread that we see in global indices, just with that focus on ESG rather than just perhaps geography such as an S&P 500 or something. We get the better quality, we still get the same sort of weightings.
Exactly. That's a good point. Interestingly enough, 80% of these stocks are either included in the S&P or in the Euro Stoxx 50 index. And it's got an 83% correlation to the MSCI World. But the key here is the fact that you as an investor will get exposure to these indices or companies, but not having any capital at risk.
Yeah.
And that is where that the credit underpinning the structure, in this case Standard Bank, protects your capital. So that's key. So I don't know where else you'll find an investment where you'll have exposure to these indices, and an outperformance of what the market does, because we will give investors 1.1 times the performance of this basket of indices and stocks, but with no downside risk.
Yeah, and that's important.
No, I mean, downside risk.
The structured product process is that, so minimum requirements, $10,000, $14,000, I put in $10,000, I will get my $10,000 back in 3 years and 10 months as it expires. And if there's a 20% return of the index, I will get back actually 22%. So I've got some upside, I've got zero downside. There's some issues, you know, you've got to take the understanding of the risk around Standard Bank, but I'm going to park that complexity there. Now, this is importantly, however, a USD. It's an offshore. I'm not investing in ZAR. So the currency is of no interest in terms of dollar rand or Aus dollar rand. This is an offshore investment.
That is 100% correct. So China Seas Basket Limited is actually a company that is listed on the Bermuda Stock Exchange, and it's registered in Guernsey. So the shareholder will become, or the investor will become a shareholder in the company, and then this company then owns assets such as the bonds and the options, etc. So even though you look at the investment, China Seas Basket Limited, the investor is a shareholder in that investment, and for as long as that investor holds the share, and potentially roll it over into following tranches, as this is actually a maturing investment already, his capital gain can be deferred. So there's benefits from regards to tax if he sends money offshore. The focus here is for investors wanting to externalize from a South African perspective. And Simon, as you know, with low interest rates overseas and volatile equity markets, it's very difficult to find a vehicle where you can park your funds. And that's why we believe this offering is very well positioned for a volatile market. There's protection involved. And you potentially don't have to bring back the cash. So from a South African perspective, if you send your money offshore, you externalize, you buy the investment. If it matures and you want to exit, you pay it off out into an international bank account. Or you buy the funding version of this product.
Yeah, I like them. I think structured products have a place in time. And I got to say, I think a pandemic, the first in 100 years, might just be that place and time. 10 July is deadline to apply. $10,000. You can Google it up. You'll find it. Hit the Investec website or the structured product team. André Joubert from Investec, really appreciate your time this morning. That's it for today. That's it for the week. Friday week is over. My day and week is done. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 at moneyweb.co.za or the app. Podcast from 7. We're on the Stitches. We're on the Spotify's. We're on everywhere. Apples and Google. You will find us in all the good podcast players. My thanks to my guests. My thanks to Caldora and Eddie for helping with the show. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.